I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm excited about this message that the Lord had laid on my heart late last week, actually. Normally, when I get my material together to write a sermon, I like to do that the first part of the week. And I was telling a couple pastor friends of mine yesterday, I like to write it and get it down on paper early in the week so that the rest of the week it can marinate. And if you ever grilled some food, you know what marinate means. You let it soak in the juices and it gets better and better and better, right? And so I have to keep coming back to it and coming back to it. And this week, with so many different things going on, I didn't get it written down on paper like I wanted to earlier in the week. So I was scrambling at the end of the week, which I never like to do. But God pre-marinated the message for me today, and I'm excited about it. I want to get you to turn in your Bibles to the Joshua chapter 1. This is it's an epic text. It's an epic text. Joshua chapter 1, what's happened here in Scripture is that, and in history, the Israelites have been rescued out of Egypt by Moses. He led them out. And the Lord protected them day and night with the smoke and the fire and the Red Sea and the manna and all that stuff, the water from the rock. God did all these amazing things. But they were timid and did not want to go into the promised land. And so they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Okay? Now, we come to the point where Joshua is here and he's taking the reins of leading this people group, which some estimate maybe 2 million or better in this desert, and that's a folks leading 100-something people is stressful. Sometimes leading 3 or 4 or 5 people in a house is stressful, right? Yeah. So Joshua's is got all this thrust upon his shoulders, and we have here this epic text where God is encouraging him and giving some instructions, but mostly encouraging him. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, God says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right nor to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." If you are ever struggling, is there anybody in the room that ever struggles? Okay, there's two in the back. The rest of you are just not being honest right now. If you're ever struggling, ever discouraged, ever afraid, read this passage. This will it will light a fire under you. Joshua's here. He's got big shoes to fill. Moses is like the cat's meow of the Old Testament, right? I mean, he's got a big story, and he comes in and he does what God wants him to do there and leading the people out. He's got big shoes to fill. He has a big purpose. He has a big assignment, and therefore, he needs big encouragement, right? I mean, it's one thing when a brother or sister comes up to you or a spouse comes up to you and says, "Hey, be strong, be brave, be courageous." It's another thing when the God of all creation comes to you and says, "Hey, be strong, be courageous." God is getting Joshua ready. How many of you know, though, that God will not give you a purpose that He will not first prepare you for? You see, all those years in the desert were preparation for Joshua. He was watching how God was leading Moses to lead the people. He was watching the people. Joshua was one of the dudes that they sent across the river 40 years back to inspect the land, right? And Joshua came back and said, boys, we can take them. We got this. God's with us, and we can get them. And Caleb was right with him. Yes, yeah, let's go. We're rip-roaring and ready. Let's go get these. They're big, but they fall hard. Let's go get them. Let's go get them. 10 of the others said, oh, no, 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 no. Can't do that. God will not give you a purpose that he will not first prepare you for. Everything you've been through to this point, think about your life. Everything you've been through to this point, the good and the bad, is preparing you for God's purpose for your life. And listen, when you really, really believe that, it'll change your whole perspective. Then you'll be able to embrace whatever comes your way in life, knowing that even if God did not send it, he can still use it. God is telling Joshua that the job before him is too big for him, but that the God who is with him is bigger than even the giant standing before him. In verse 6, I love this. In verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors. I want to back up just a minute. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then in verse 7, he says these words, be strong and very courageous. He says it again. In case you didn't hear me the first time, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. I know it's like God was saying, look, I know I just told you in verse 6, be strong and courageous. But I know how you people are. And I know that how you forget sometimes so quickly, and how your courage turns to fear and to doubt and to discouragement and even depression. I know it happens so quickly. So I'm going to tell you again, be strong and very courageous. And then in verse 9, he says these words, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now this time he says, again, be strong and courageous, but he says, have I not commanded you? He doesn't say, look, if you want to take some advice, it might be a good idea for you to be strong and courageous. He didn't say that. He said, no, I'm commanding you, get yourself up, be strong, and be courageous. I've commanded you to do that. And sometimes, maybe you need to hear that this morning. And maybe it's not just a good idea for you to be strong and courageous. God has commanded us to be strong and very courageous. He says, I will not leave you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will be with you wherever you go. How many of you ever feel afraid? How many of you ever feel discouraged? It's okay. It's okay. Sometimes you just can't help the way you feel, right? Feelings come upon you and you just can't really help the way you feel. But I think what's very important is God didn't tell Joshua, don't feel afraid. Don't feel discouraged. There's a big difference between feeling and being. And just because you feel afraid doesn't mean you have to be afraid. Just because you feel discouraged doesn't mean you have to be discouraged. I feel afraid in the dark sometimes. And you're probably looking at me and going, why on earth would you be afraid of the dark? I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of what's in the dark. Okay? But I don't have to be afraid. I can feel afraid, but I don't have to be afraid. Let me tell you something you may or may not know about your pastor. Okay? And my wife will reluctantly probably verify some of these things. Most of you have never seen me get riled up. And I pray that you never have to, okay? But if the need arises, God has given me certain characteristics, give me certain traits, skills, and physical characteristics that can be very useful in the right situations. If used in the right ways, of course, right? When I feel afraid in the dark, I have to talk to myself. And I have to remind myself there's probably nothing out there that I can't handle. And handle it well, by the way. So I can feel afraid and still go into the dark and take care of business and not have to be afraid. There's a difference. Just because you have fear doesn't mean you have to be afraid. God is telling Joshua that the real enemy is not the inhabitants of the land. You know, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Cellulites, the whatever kind of Perizzites, whatever they are, ites. He's basically saying, they're there. You're going to have to take care of them, but that's not a big deal. That's not where the big battle is. They're not the real enemy. The real enemy is not even the grumbling of your own people, although they're surely doing that. The real enemy is within yourself, Joshua, and it's in the form of fear and discouragement. The Israelites, they have moved, right? They were in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. They moved out to the desert, headed to the promised land. They just haven't got there yet. They've been hanging out in the wilderness. Some of you are hanging out in the wilderness, by the way. They have moved out of their former way of life, but have not moved into God's fullness. Why? Fear. Discouragement. Remember? There are giants in the land. They'll squash us like grasshoppers. They're too big. There's too many. The cities are too fortified. Some of you have moved out of your former life, the life without Christ, and you've moved beyond that, and that's a great thing. But you've not moved into God's fullness either. Why? Fear. Discouragement. Some of you are looking across the river at a promise. It's close. You see it. God has given you a promise and you're looking across the river, but you're still in the wilderness. You're looking at a promise that you have yet to step into. Most likely because of fear and discouragement. Those are the two things that battle most of us most of the time. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, we find this passage. And this is Moses. And he called Joshua and he said, basically, I'm going to sum it up for you. He says, all right, bro, here's the deal. I'm old, I'm about to die, and you're going to have to take the reins of these people. And they don't like to be led. I know that. I've been doing it for 40 years. But you're going to have to take the reins of these people, and you're going to have to walk them into the promised land. It's your time. This is your calling, and you have to do this. And he tells him chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, verses 7 through 8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And when you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord Himself goes before you, and He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not feel discouraged. So when God was saying these same things to Joshua later on in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, it's not the first time that he's been told that you need to be strong, courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. You see, the first time when Moses told Joshua here in Deuteronomy, he said, he told him what he must do and why he must do it. But later, when God Himself spoke to Joshua, He showed him how to do it. Would you like to know how to keep yourself encouraged? Would you like to know that? How many of you would like to know that? Yeah, okay, well, I'm going to tell you. Let's look back at verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And it says this. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. There's the secret. But it's really not a secret. God put it there for us all to have it. You have to talk yourself into it. You have to talk yourself into it. Fear and discouragement comes from conversations you have with others and with yourself. Okay? My wife talks to herself all the time. And when she talks about Erin, our daughter, she's having like a parent-teacher conference all within herself there. She talks to herself all the time. So for her, me to encourage Rebecca, you have to talk to yourself. That's no big deal. Some others, like me, I don't like to talk to myself. I don't really like the sound of my own voice. And I certainly struggle with, am I saying the right things or not? And sometimes I'm a little downer sometimes to myself. But that's not what's happening here. We have to talk ourselves into it. And I'm going to show you an example out of Psalms chapter 42. The psalmist, it's not David here, but the psalmist, one of the sons of Korah, wrote this psalm, and he says this. He's talking himself. He's rallying himself through his words into a spirit of praise and out of a spirit of despair. And he says here in Psalm 42, beginning in verse 3, he says, "My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" Kind of having a pity party here, right? "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and shouts of praise among the festive throng. Can't do that anymore. Don't do that now. Wah, wah, wah." And then in verse 5, it's like he slaps himself across his face. He talks to himself. He says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." He talked himself into it. He had to talk himself out of a spirit of despair and into a spirit of praise. If the psalmist can do it, so can you. And so can I. I can stand up and say, "I ain't afraid of no dark." I was going to say, "I ain't afraid of no ghosts," but that was a movie line that I saw one time. I'm not afraid of no ghosts except the Holy Ghost. I'm not really afraid. I just have a reverential fear of the Holy Ghost, right? Sometimes He makes me do things that I never thought I would do. Where am I going here? Back on track. Here we are. The Hebrew word for meditate. Remember back in verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1, it says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night." You know what the Hebrew word for meditate literally means? It literally means to mutter. To mutter. Mutter means to speak, to have your lips moving and voice sounds coming out, right? Mutter. To mutter. It's not enough just to read the Bible. You have to rehearse the Bible. You see, they would memorize the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. That was their Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They memorized this, and they would put it to a rhythm. And a lot of times, if you've seen some of the Jewish, what am I thinking of? Orthodox Jews. They'll sit there and they'll rock back and forth like this, and they're muttering. Well, they've got this down to a rhythm, and that's how they memorize it, and they're repeating this. They're muttering. They are meditating on God's word. They're speaking it. They're speaking it to themselves, reminding themselves, and it helps. And that's what they're doing. They have to rehearse the Bible. You can't just read it. You have to live it. If you're going to live in the promise, you cannot be hearers only, Bible tells us. Don't be hearers only, but be doers of the word. You must be doers. You have to talk yourself into it, just like with my monsters in the dark. I have to talk myself into it. God says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I say, He has filled me with His power. He says He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He says, I am the all-powerful. I'm the all-existent one. I'm the all-knowing. I'm the all-present one. God says He is the Alpha, He is the Omega, He is the beginning and the end. He's the Creator, He's the Sustainer. He's the God who divides the sea. He's the God who raises the dead. He heals the blind, heals the lame. heals the disease. He's the one who calls down fire from heaven and the one who sends the rain. God simply says, I am the great I am. And if I can tell myself all that and remind myself that the guy who says all of that is with me, not only that, he is in me. If God be for me, who can be against me? I can go into the dark. And I can handle it. The battle begins in the mind. Let me restate that. The battle is all in the mind. It's won in the mind. Remember, we battle not against flesh and blood. No, it's not about the physical stuff that we have issues. It wasn't the giants in the land. They had to battle their fear about the giants. Giants are going to fall. Anybody ever seen an action movie? Yeah. In any good action movie, there's always this dramatic soundtrack in the background, right? It's playing in the background, and it adds excitement, and it'll bring you to the edge of your seat, right? You got this soundtrack. How many of you know what that soundtrack is? That's Rocky. Epic movie, right? And you got this, anytime I hear that, I took Aaron to Philadelphia here last summer, 2 years ago. We went to the steps, you know, where Rocky runs up and they're playing the theme song, dun, 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 gets up to the top and does this. I started up those steps. About halfway up, I stopped, took a break. And then the theme song started playing in my mind. I'm like, come on, we got to go. We went all the way to the top, and I stood up at the top, had my picture taken in front of the Rocky statue and everything. That theme song was going in the back of my mind. Let Scripture be your soundtrack. I'm feeling afraid right now. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. The God who created the darkness is there with me. He's in the darkness with me. What am I got to be afraid of? Start speaking the Scripture back to you. But you know what? Here's the kicker. How can you speak Scripture to yourself and talk yourself into it if you don't know it in the beginning? You've got to know the Word of God. I can do all things through Christ. I don't need glasses. I just might need longer arms. You got to talk yourself into this stuff. Let Scripture be your soundtrack, always playing in the background to encourage you and to chase that fear away. I'm going to close with one more passage of Scripture. It's John 14 and verse 27. Jesus is speaking and he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." When Scripture tells us to do not let. Let's look at this verse. Can you put that back up there? I want to show you something. Do not give. What's it? The next one? Okay. Do not let your hearts be troubled. When you see those words, do not let, that implies that you have an option here. You have a choice here, that this is not in control of you. Fear does not have to have you. You cannot let yourself be afraid. You have a choice that you can make in that regard. You have a choice today. Choose today that fear and discouragement will no longer rule over you. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind or self-discipline. You got to talk yourself into the reality that if God is for us, who can be against us? Just because you have fear doesn't mean you have to be afraid. Just because you have discouragement doesn't mean you have to be discouraged. Just because you have whatever, I have this fear of not being secure, doesn't mean you have to be unsecure. Just because it comes upon you, you don't have to let it rule over you. Is fear and discouragement your master? Or is the one who can conquer that your master? Jesus said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake. I will not leave you orphans. He said, I'm going to the heavens. I'm going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. But I'm going to send you another helper. Where I was with you, the Spirit of the living God will be inside of you. Amen. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. And it's not some little spirit ghost thing. It's the Spirit of the living God of all creation. His very, the great I Am of all resides within the believers. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Fear not. Fear not. I love the song, Fear Not, For I Am With You. Though you go through the waters, go through the fire, don't be afraid. I'm there with you. Not only that, but He is in you. He is in you. You got to talk to yourself into it sometimes. You got to tell yourself, hey, wait a minute. This feeling of fear is coming over me. Why is that? I don't know, but I don't want it. And guess what? I don't have to have it. I don't have to take it. In Jesus' name, I can cast that out because He says He's given me the power to do that through the Holy Spirit. And I can cast that out and I don't have to deal with that. And I can go into the dark. I can go into the dark and I can handle whatever's there because God is with me. Matter of fact, He's already ahead of me. He knows what's in the dark. And He wouldn't let me go into the dark if He knew it was going to damage me beyond what I need to be damaged sometimes. If God is for you, who can be against you? Who? Think of your worst fear. Guess what? Ain't nothing compared to the all-powerful, almighty God of all creation. You can clap for that. That's awesome stuff. I just want to encourage you because sometimes we get down. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get depressed. Sometimes we get all this stuff. Guess what? You don't have to have it. You don't have to. You can't stop it from being there sometimes. Let me rephrase it. Sometimes you can't stop it from being there, but you don't have to let it rule over you. What do you subject yourself to? Do you subject yourself to the fear, discouragement, depression? Or do you subject yourself to the one who has already overcome all of that? Overcome all of that for Himself and for you and for me. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You can encourage us through Your Word. Father, we thank You that You do that. But Father, we know that in order for You to use Your Word to encourage us, we have to read Your Word. We have to know Your Word. We have to be able to call Your Word to mind. Hide Your Word in our heart that we might not sin against You. But not only that, so that we can use that to encourage ourselves. Father, You've commanded us to be strong and courageous. And do not be afraid. And do not be discouraged. Oh, Father, help us to believe that we have the power to overcome those things in our life. Not on our own, but because of the one who is living within us, who has already overcome it. He just doesn't know it yet. Oh, Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ and the work that He did at the cross. We thank You for the salvation that only Jesus Christ can offer. We thank You for the forgiveness of sins and the opportunity to repent and to change our life to align it with the Word of God. Father, I pray that we would all make that commitment today, that we are going to study the Word of God. We are going to learn the Word of God. We are going to be able to apply God's truths from the Bible to our lives and realize that we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in discouragement. We don't have to live in depression. We don't have to live in all those things, Father, that You have already given us victory. The victory's already won. The truth is, Lord, sometimes we still have to go through some stuff. You promised us that too. In this world, you will have trouble. Oh, but take heart, I've overcome the world. The trouble that you're going to have, I've already taken care of. You just have to walk through it. Lord, thank You that You've done all those things that we cannot do. And you've given us the strength to do more than we think we can. Encourage us today, Father. Continue to encourage us on our way home, on our way to the cafe, the restaurant, back out of town, wherever we're headed, Father. Continue to encourage us today. In Jesus' name, amen.